Church is happening. Even though we are not gathered here physically, and if the cameras are turned, there's nobody here except for a small group of people, I think around 12. But through the power of technology, we're able to gather together. In fact, we're going old school. If you look in the book of Acts, the early church gathered in houses. And that's what we're doing today. People watching are at their homes, in their private residences, and here we are gathering together as the church. Someone asked me, are you afraid of the church? What might happen to the church? We're not physically able to get together. Nowhere around the country, churches are gathering together. Is this the end of the church? I've always believed that the church is not a building. These four walls are temporary. It helps us to gather together. It's a little bit easier. We don't come to church. We are the church, and God has called us like never before to be an example, to tell the good news, the message of the gospel to our friends, our families, our colleagues, the hope that we have. We're the hope to the world. We are the church. I want to share with you a few verses, some encouragement this morning. 1 John 4, 18 says this, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. There is no fear in love. A young man called me up a couple of days, and we were talking, and he says, Ariel, I'm having panic attacks. I'm anxious, I'm fearful, I'm scared. I just got a job. I don't know what's gonna happen to my career. Am I ever gonna get married? I'm concerned about my parents, my grandparents. I'm scared. I told him, I said, the coronavirus might not get you, but stress is gonna get you. And if there's one thing that's a killer in our world today, it's stress. All this worry, all this anxiety, it just increases our stress, and that's an unseen killer that affects everybody, their health. And eventually, stress will probably kill most of us. So what do we do? Well, I told him, I said, probably need to be careful all the stuff that's coming in your information that you're getting. All this panic is being created. Someone sent me a meme yesterday and said, I know how to prevent the coronavirus. Number one, stay calm. Number two, trust God. Number three, wash your hands. And number four, turn off CNN. Because all this panic and this fear-mongering that's going on is all this information that we're getting. Conflicting reports. How do you get it? How's it transmitted? Do I have it? This is what we do know. Most people that are going to get this virus are not going to be tremendously ill. They're going to be sick, but they're going to recover. They say that about 80% might have mild symptoms, but there's 20% who are going to get it who are going to have severe reactions. You see, they're likely to get something called pneumonia, which is inflammation of the lungs. Think of our lungs as sponges. They're flexible. They enable us to breathe. But when you have this inflammation of the lungs, those spongy lungs become harder, harder to breathe. And those who have respiratory distress need ventilators, breathing machines, as their bodies are able to fight this virus. We know who are the people who are vulnerable. Those who are elderly. I think of my parents who are in their late 60s and 70s. And I'm concerned about them. Those who have underlying conditions. Those whose immune system cannot stop this virus. That's why we're not gathered here together with a lot of people. This is happening in real time. How do you get it? Is it through respiratory droplets? Is it comparable to the measles? I discovered this week that the measles can literally, if you cough, the measles will attach to a dust cell and it'll suspend in the air that 2 hours later, if someone comes up here, and if I have measles, they can actually contract measles from standing up here in this environment in 2 hours. But with this coronavirus, If you sneeze or cough, the respiratory droplets go in the air for a period of time, short period of time, and they start dropping onto the surface. And that's where the problem comes in, because someone else will come and touch the surface between a minute to, they say, 4 days for the surface. And when you touch that surface, people say they put their hands to their mouth, their eyes, and their nose, and that's how you contract this virus. Should we be panicking? Should we be concerned? No, we shouldn't panic. We should be concerned for those around us. And that's why this verse is so powerful. There is no fear in love. And then it explains it. But perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. The context is this. The final judgment. That is what it's talking about here, love and fear. And the context is the final judgment. When we die, who are we going to meet? Are we going to meet a God who is just and righteous and full of wrath? Well, if we're believers in Jesus Christ, you're not going to meet that God. You're going to meet a God who's your loving Father, who loves you dearly, who wants you to draw close to Him. But it's through Christ, in Christ, having faith in Christ. That's what we put our trust in. So if you remove the fear of punishment on the other side, if that's gone, because we're believers in Christ, how about death? Death for a believer is like a minor transition, because we're already dead to ourselves and to our old life, and we have entered into eternal life here and now. And when we die, it's just a minor transition into the full eternal life that we get with our Heavenly Father. So if you remove this phobia of final punishment, this phobia of death, if you go backwards, there's nothing to be afraid of. Nothing to be anxious about, really. And that's why this verse is so powerful, because it says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. Perfect love, agape love, unconditional love, committed love, loyal love. That's found in Jesus Christ. He was the example of perfect love, agape love. This love, this faith in Christ drives out fear. This word, this verb, drives, is the exact same verb that was used when Jesus drove out the unclean spirits, when he did exorcisms in the Gospels. John is literally saying that perfect love, this love, will perform an exorcism on fear. We as believers, we don't put our trust in the things around us that we see. I don't have trust in Washington. I don't have trust in the government. I don't have trust in money. That's all gonna crumble and go. When everything disappears, there's one person who's gonna remain, and that's God. My faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing to fear if you have that. The more time you spend growing in your love for Christ, because we are all fearful, we're scared. Even if you're a believer, that residue of fear is there. And that's why the goal is to become like Christ, that perfect love. You start thinking less of yourself. You start being centered on Christ. And what happens is you start thinking about others around you. And that's why there's 59 times I counted in the Gospels where it talks about one another. Love one another. How do you know that you're a disciple of Jesus Christ? If you love one another. In these times, we have an opportunity as a church to love one another. You might say, how? Well, love is not legalistic. Love is wise. So it depends upon the situation. And that's why we don't have anybody here this morning. We're loving one another. I know young people that got together this week in the gym to play basketball. And they said, why are you closing the gym? We're not going to get sick. We're going to be part of that 80%. Love one another. How? Wash your hands?
In this middle of a pandemic, you're telling me to wash my hands?
Never in the history I can think of in my lifetime can your behavior, my behavior, can dramatically impact you, and your behavior can dramatically impact me and my health and my family's health. I can't think of another situation in my lifetime where this can happen. We have an obligation to one another. We are codependent upon each other. It's a known fact, before the coronavirus, a lot of men, when they went to the bathroom, they wouldn't wash their hands. Bad behavior. Now, during this coronavirus period of time, that behavior has to stop. Because you have an obligation to others. Wash your hands, not for yourself, if you don't want to. Do it for me, for my family. Do it for my parents. Do it for Christy Salaja. Do it for the people who might have immune systems that can't handle this. The best way we can love one another is maybe keeping a distance from each other. For other situations, maybe it's an opportunity for us to call those, use Facebook technology that we have, to reach out to those who might be lonely, emotionally stressed out, panicking. This opportunity is for us as a church to be the church what God called us to be. There's a great movement in the world today, compassion movement. It's called the church. Maybe God, for a time like this, has called us, for a crisis moment like this, for us to be exactly what he wants us to be. A church that loves one another, has compassion, sharing with one another. And remember, perfect love drives out fear. May God bless us all. Amen.